Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 59 this week, joined by Logan, again, chuckling softly to himself, John Carmen, Dez Dolly, the usual ridiculous gang. We talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Haunted houses, Logan does the...
I think this went through a little bit more.
No, Logan does a little bit of a haunted house recap, Halloween recap, talk about upcoming Thanksgiving stuff.
Freddie takes us on a tour of his Tinder studies.
Oh, yes. Yes, my anthropological Tinder studies. Anyway, all that and more waiting for you in just a little bit. By the way, we are doing a survey at podsurvey.com/facerocker. We need your help. Go ahead, fill out that survey. Tells us a little bit about who's listening to this. It'll help us out in terms of how we make this podcast, how we craft it, how we advertise to you guys. Anyway, it's the kind of thing that helps us out immensely if you fill it out. And we understand that you're taking valuable time out of your time to fill out this survey. So we're going to pick three winners randomly. We're going to hook them up with a Steam game of their choice, as well as a whole bunch of Rocket Jump swag. So podsurvey.com/facerocker. Please head on over there, open up a new tab, fill it out real quick. It'll take you a couple minutes, and you have the chance to win some very cool stuff and help out this podcast. Enough of this.
Let's get into it.
John, you want to bring us in?
I wouldn't know.
Just go.
Hey, you listen to Face Rocker Podcast number 468.
That's not true. Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, John. Good attempt.
John, that was nice.
It was good.
Thank you.
It was cute.
Thank you.
This is Freddie. We're joined by John Carmen.
Dez
Dolly.
Hey, how's it going?
And Logan Olson back again for more of this madness. John, by the way, the audience has really taken a liking to you based on the YouTube comments, and I say that's completely sarcastically. Everyone seems to think you're a dick and they hate you.
Really?
Wait,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, they turn
very hard on
Is
John
there really
Carmen.
Enough comments to like.
I was a little mean spirited with the answers to the questions. I kind of rushed.
What ladies happened,
what
and gentlemen,
on the last podcast.
Well, so
John.
What happened was we were going through some of the VGHS questions. And we answered them, but we also answered them, you know, initially very flippantly, and John provided those answers. We thought it was great, but then everyone just sort of hated John. I'm sorry, John.
Wow.
We still love you.
I think we killed you on the internet, John. You're
dead.
Oh
my God. I got to drink a bunch of whiskey and then read those comments one night.
Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you listen to the, I think to he's the being ramblings sarcastic. Of internet strangers? Logan, good to see you. It's been a while since you and I have been had a chance to catch up and talk.
I know, sad. I invited you to Mai Tais last week. Where were you? What were you doing?
I was hosting.
That was this week, actually.
That was this week. I was hosting, and this is not a thing I usually do, but I was hosting Halo Fest, which was an Xbox event for the release of Halo, the Master Chief Collection. They made very sure, by the way, that we said it that way. They're like, well, you guys got to stay on brand. It's Halo : the Master Chief Collection. It's like, can't say Master Chief Collection. Can't say Halo Master Chief. It's a Halo the Master Chief Collection.
I have a question about this. So when you do something like that,
yeah,
I feel like maybe you guys do a few things like this now. Do you feel like you have to be supportive of that brand, like outside of the confines of that like 2 hours?
Well, no. I think because here's what it is. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to we are the reason why they're even bothering talking to us is because they're like, oh, you guys speak authentically and you're not just corporate shills, and that kind of feels weird to say that, but
we will engage in these events because they're things we are interested in.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with it, you know, I'll say
so honestly, like, what do you think of Halo?
I think Halo is
the series
as a whole. I think that Halo overall did a lot of things interestingly. I think that they're control
very
mapping.
Very diplomatic, Freddie.
No, I'll get into it.
Let me get into it.
I'm a nuanced man. Nuanced opinions.
Okay.
The mapping for first person view onto a analog stick was super good and still
like
I think probably
10
some
years
of the best.
Ago.
No, I know, but you have to recognize. Yeah, but you have to recognize the first Halo
but
for
that. It was that good, bro.
I would argue that their idea of like 30 seconds of action. Follow, you know, like that's their design philosophy of 30 seconds of action really gets repetitive.
And let's give them one more credit thing. They kind of started the regenerative shield thing, right?
Yep, that's that's them as well.
That's their jam.
But like, I would argue properly mapping first person controls to an analog stick is probably one of the most important things that has been done.
First two Halo games were the last.
So what about the last 5 years though? Like Halo the last 5 years.
Well, did I tell you what happened with Halo 4? No. There's this, so, okay, so there's this like middle ground 2 hours in. Okay, so I was like, I was playing it. I was like, okay, Halo, I'm going to do another Halo, see what's going on. I play 2 hours of it. I'm like, all right, this is a good stopping point. I stop, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. The next day, I come back to it. I'm like, all right, let's pick up where I left off. And it didn't save, so it started me right back at the beginning. I was like,
You were kind of excited because you're like, I get to experience this fun.
No, I was like, I'm not doing this 2 hours again. I've never played Halo 4. Like, literally, it hit that no man's land where I'm like, I'm not going to just play this 2 hours. I just did that. I don't want to do that. It's going to take another 2 years before I'm even willing to, like, look at Halo 4 and be like, I guess I'll go through it.
Was that again. The last one? Also, I guess we should also ask.
There was Reach after that, right?
Halo Reach was all right. That was that. Well, what was the one where you were like a little squad of non Spartans?
OCDS or something like that.
OCDS. OCDS. That was kind of like a fun squad based thing, but all this kind of is like in the shadow of Titanfall now. Like, I feel like Titanfall kind of rocked the mic. But did you hear about the new Halo where they kind of just stole all the stuff from Titanfall and then put it in a new game?
Well, that's Halo 5. That's Halo 5.
Like the Halo 5. Yeah, they're like, it has all these innovative features like forever sprinting and you can wall run whenever you
want.
I was like, oh.
I played it. It's basically just like a very fast paced
Titanfall.
No, because Titanfall is very fast-paced. Arguably, Titanfall is more fast-paced. Because Halo has always been kind of a slowish game, comparatively, you know? Compared to, like Call of Duty, which is much twitchier, and Titanfall, which is up in that sort of speed range. Halo's always been comparatively very slow. I mean, you float around. You jump 10 feet in the air, and you float around.
Pick one. You're going to a desert island. Which one are you taking with you? Halo, Titanfall?
None of them.
Or Doom.
Original Doom.
But Doom comes with seven of your favorite bros in a land setup.
I'll open it up. Pick a shooter.
Pizza party.
Pick a first-person shooter.
Pizza
the only party. One you can ever play ever again. Pick one.
I'll take Serious Sam.
Serious Sam?
I'll take Serious
with
Sam.
The headless screamer dudes?
Yeah.
Hey, so as content creators, how do you feel about... I actually don't really know anything other than like one screenshot and you guys bad-mouthing it maybe. This Halo video thing?
Oh, Halo Nightfall's
what's Halo
really
Nightfall?
Bad.
What is this?
It's really
their new
bad.
Show.
They have a show?
They had a live-action show with executive produced by Ridley Scott, and it's like one of those things where you're like, all right, Ridley Scott, and you guys are pushing Ridley Scott a lot. It's like, how much is Ridley Scott is here? How
what's
much
his
is he
involvement,
here?
Really?
And how much is he... you know, it was... It's not that good.
Is it on the internet?
It's on the Halo video thing.
Xbox video.
It's just one of those things where they do this. Console. They do this in the first episode, which is like... Okay, they have so much exposition in the first dialogue that they do this thing where they stop telling the exposition, but they cut to another scene with all the same characters. It's just in a different environment, continuing the conversation as just like a way of like spicing up this exposition dump. So first they're like sitting around in like this conference room talking about like what they're going to do. Then it cuts to them like in the conference room talking about it. And it's like,
then
this
it cuts to a ship in space with like 5 minutes of text superimposed over the screen to fill you in on more of the backstory.
Really?
It's just a lot of information. Yeah.
Huge dump. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you're a Halo fan, I guess you could know. I wouldn't even say that if you're a Halo fan, but
so maybe we should keep the space theme alive and talk about the spaceship asteroid landing. I bet that.
That's cool, isn't
really
it?
Cool,
how
right?
crazy is
it's
that?
It's pretty crazy.
Did you think it was possible? Like,
yeah, everything's possible, but like I feel like the problem is like were you guys like did like anybody like drop their glass? Like, holy shit, they did it.
No, there
like,
is no yeah, but
no,
there's
I,
a
I read that it was this all the scientists were waiting for the right window of time to press the button to launch the probe because they cannot steer it once it's blasted off or whatever, and I'm like, there's they're
300
good luck, guys,
million miles away.
You're not gonna get
300 million miles
away. They wouldn't know for 7.5 hours.
It's like the ultimate carnival game. We're like, ready, 3, 2, 1, go. Right, trying to like spread
awesome.
The needle across the, and by the way, but do you I don't think that, like, for example, that 9 months from now there's gonna be a bunch more kids, you know? It's not like the Apollo landings where
humanity's was that a thing with a bunch more kids on the I've heard about that for some days, but really was like Apollo like a real fire starter for couples?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
World War II ending was
Well, I get that one.
Yeah,
did the Apollo landing cause more babies?
Now that you mention it, I did kind of feel a little something when I saw that.
But it's pretty cool. I was reading about the probe tech. It's pretty awesome.
With like the harpoons that shoot in.
It's got harpoons. It's got retro thrusters that keep it glued.
The harpoons didn't work, right? It just like launched. Like it was like
it had multiple systems.
It was basically designed by like a 13-year-old being like, "What would be cool if they send this space?"
It can't be that 13-year-old was like 1,000 PhDs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. 13-year-old
the EU
Albert Einstein.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of bummed out that's not like a national holiday. Like
why would it be a national holiday
or international?
The
holiday.
The Europeans
be,
did it.
Yeah, we didn't.
I think
do
it's
it.
A big deal for humanity though to land on a comet.
Agree.
Like think about 200 years ago, we didn't even know comets existed. right? Like,
yeah,
we thought it was just God sneezing across the night sky.
It's true. Who's that one guy who like discovered all the comets? He was like the guy who like started building the super giant telescopes.
Kepler?
No, we're not. I'm not gonna like Haley. That's not Haley.
Yeah, Galileo.
Huh? No. Who are we talking about? No, there was a guy during the Age of Wonder, like the 18th century. He was this dude who was obsessed with stars, and he actually started polishing his own mirrors and started building some of the biggest telescopes of his time. And he was like the guy who documented all the comets.
Uh-huh.
I might have just made all that up.
Yeah, it's just this fictional European.
Sounds like a movie.
So, guys, I kind of want to give you. Last time I was on here, I think we had a little bit of a snack debate.
We did, and that was proved to be a quite popular debate.
Yeah.
So I got a little bit of a snack update for you.
Yeah, a little snack update. Ladies and gentlemen, snack update coming at you
from Logan Olson. So I think it was Benji who recommended Zaps.
That was me.
All the way. Dude, so I've been rocking the Zaps.
Where are you getting them? I don't know where to find them.
There's this place in Kenneth Village called Arts Meat Market that run by these Armenian dudes. They make a mean Italian sub with only boar's head meats. Some delicious homemade bakery bread, just fantastic sandwiches, and then they have a delicious potato chip rack, rocking the Zaps.
Which flavor you rock?
I'm really into the spicy crotaters.
Yeah.
Or the voodoo spice ones.
Logan, how do you feel the voodoo heat?
Voodoo heat. Sorry, that's the one. These are all just for you guys out there who haven't encountered Zaps in the wild. New Orleans style kettle cooked.
Mm. Oh, you know who has them?
The spicy crunches.
Mm. There's a sandwich shop in Pasadena that also has them.
Which one?
The one right by the one that we went to that one time, right kind of by where Matt is.
So I think kind of the lesson here is go to your local artisan sandwich shop, and you might spot some Zaps. And so I got another thing though, a healthier snack.
Okay,
I actually tried to make my own this weekend. It'll be done next
week. Back up. You made your own snacks.
Kimchi.
You made? Did you ferment it for 7 days?
It's fermenting right now.
Underneath your backyard?
No. I got a. Apparently, it's a carafe, not a carafe. I got a carafe that I originally. So I filled that bad boy up with some fermented fish oil and cabbage.
Oh, God,
and
this is going to be Korean, so bad.
Yeah, it smells really bad in my kitchen.
Let's make some. Tell me when it's ready. We'll make some banh mi's.
What's a banh? Oh, that's not for kimchi,
that's
though.
That's Vietnamese, man.
Yeah, man.
You don't put kimchi on that?
No, but so I went to that Asian market in Glendale.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. So my whole thing was, I went to Whole Foods, and you get like a little thimble of kimchi for like 10 bucks. I was like, this is just cabbage. I should just do this myself. So I bought all these ingredients, and then as I was checking out, I discovered this giant vat of kimchi for like the same buck, like $8 for like a gallon of kimchi. So now I'm rocking kimchi like for breakfast and dinner like every day.
It's really good, right?
It's great, and it's a superfood. It's a fucking superfood.
Well, that's fine. You can have it.
You know
that
why,
means thousands way, of vitamin C.
You know why? You know why kimchi is such a big thing in Korea?
Why?
Because
prevents fan death.
No.
Just for the people out there, can you explain fan death, Freddy?
So Koreans, Japanese, the Asians believe to varying degrees that being in a closed room with a fan can kill you while sleeping. Like something about
please elaborate.
The fan is chopping. It's the mechanism of death is not clear, but it's something about maybe the molecules are getting chopped up by the fan blades, or that it's sucking the air out of the room, or what have you. And it's this weird cultural thing where it's like, yeah, don't sleep in the room closed with a fan on because you'll die. Oh my gosh. And ladies and gentlemen, Logan has just tripped over one of our cameras. So
good.
Okay.
It's good, he says.
But I don't know where it came from. Well, it was one of those things where a lot of Koreans apparently believe that if you're in a closed room and you close all the doors and you turn a fan on and go to sleep, you will wake up dead. You won't wake up at all.
So my friend, you guys know Ben.
Yeah.
Ben Sherman, who lived in Korea. He was totally flabbergasted by fan death and the fact that like college-going people still believe in fan death. And his one theory was it was like a way to cover up suicide. Like if somebody commits suicide to prevent the shame of suicide, you just say they died of fan death.
Interesting.
And just kind of like let it go.
Well, because there were several examples in the news media where people claimed, this person died because of that, which helped then continue to perpetuate that myth of fan death was from that. Was the news media actually.
Was there anything like that growing up, Freddie, for you guys in your household?
Oh, like in terms of like weird Asian superstitions?
Yeah.
Jumping vampires.
Jumping vampire
superstitions. gosh.
What about the rest of you? Any Aryan ones, you guys?
Aryan? I'm a Jew. So
Aryan superstitions.
I'm the opposite of an Aryan.
You had like golems or anything growing up?
What?
Golems.
Golems. Okay.
Golem.
A golem.
Yeah. No, no fan death. No, I think my mom actually, I think, did say once, like, hey, you shouldn't sleep with a fan on. And I think what she had come to, you know, the other theory for why it kills you is because perhaps your body is more susceptible to temperature changes, therefore it'll cool you to a hyperthermic levels, and you'll die from that.
By the way, like a year ago, did I mention when I was taking, this is probably 2 years ago at this point. We've been podcasting for a while, huh?
Yeah.
When I got into cold showers, ice cold
showers. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I picked it back up again.
Wait, you let go of it at some point?
Oh, yeah, I stopped it. Yeah, actually. You go for about a month, and then one day you're just staring at the shower head for 5 minutes, like dreading, turning it on, and you're like, I'm going back to hot showers.
You know, I'll end my showers now with like 30 seconds of ice cold. Ice cold.
I hear that's really good. That's good for you.
So
right?
I get the warm and the slow wake up, you know, and the scrub and everything. And then it's okay. It's time to start the day. Crank it to ice cold. Quick 30 seconds and I'm out of there.
Oh, see, this is right before bed.
Yeah, I take long, luxurious, steaming hot baths constantly.
See, I'm doing that, but like, dude, I'm telling you, like it feels like a work. It feels like a workout. Like all my, like I'm kind of sore afterwards because I'm flexing so hard to try to keep warm.
That doesn't sound healthy.
And I'm definitely like eco-conscious right. now because you keep on shutting off the water to do anything that doesn't involve rinsing. Like, because you just want to avoid. Getting hit with more water.
How cold are these showers?
I like literally, well, especially now, like
yeah, it's cold
fall,
outside a little bit.
It's cold as hell, man. And like, you definitely even if you turn it a quarter of the way, because I have one of those ones that go from cold to hot as you increase in pressure. Even a quarter of the way, it's still kind of maybe you detect some warmth. You barely turn it on, so it's just a trickle of ice running down.
That's
you
awful.
And like the most amazing part is you're like you think you're good, you think you're adapted, and then you turn around to face it. And,
no.
You're absolutely just like, ugh! And then you like shrivel into yourself. So it's just
nothing quite as wonderful as nothing quite as wonderful as also when it hits your head and your skull and you just like you just can't even breathe. You do that. I'm like,
yeah, I actually gasp during my showers now. Like
your breath escapes you. Yeah, I know the feeling. Your breath escapes you and your abs are so clenched it's hard to breathe.
That's my ab workout for the day. Flex out of it. It's like those, how you ever heard like those Siberian farmers who like burn 6,000 calories from the cold?
Really?
Apparently, well, that's actually one of the that's the cold.
You're gonna have to check that. Fact check that junk.
No, there's, have you heard about like shiver dieting? Have you heard about this?
Maybe yeah, talked like that about guy this. Who did like the 4-hour work week and all those other sort of like hyper efficiency books was talking about like just freezing out your weight.
Yeah, well, just the theory of like your body in the process of trying to keep warm burns more calories because it's working at that. Mm. So if you took, I don't know what it was. I think it was like they did a study where it was like people sitting in ice baths for like 2 hours a day. Like,
why ended don't you up just go for a run at that?
Just go yeah, for a I run. Know, I know. Go I know. For a hot run.
You're just so lazy. You're just like, I'm just gonna sit in this lukewarm ice bath, shivering. The act of shivering being, you know, perhaps a way of burning more calories.
So guys,
yeah.
Because it is getting a little colder. It's getting into the winter season. Maybe it's a little too early for Christmas. I tried to bring up Christmas last time.
It is a little too early for Christmas.
We just brought up Christmas in October.
Yeah.
That's we just wrapped Halloween so much.
I know we had
But
some
can we do a Halloween recap?
Quick Halloween recap.
A little Halloween recap.
When you guys dress up?
So hold on real quick. I went to, have you been, there's this thing in LA called.
I went to, have you been, there's this thing.
Have you been, there's this thing.
How am I gonna lead into this one?
Yeah,
Delusion. And I'm just going to continue to ignore that. Delusion in LA, which is like a haunted house that's more of a guided theatrical experience that you get
this
touched.
Is Neil Patrick Harris's thing.
He kind of put his name on it.
He kind of Ridley Scotted it, to be fair. So it's actually a bunch of stunt guys, exactly, who put together, they take over a house in every year, and they do a whole little narrative thing, and they do stunts in the house. And it was actually really cool, I got to say.
What was the best stunt?
So you go in as a group, and this is all sold out, so I'm really not spoiling anything for people because you can't go see it anyway if you haven't seen it.
And it'll
be
completely different next year.
And it's completely different next year. So you go into a house, and the storyline this year was it's like a Stephen King-esque sort of writer, and this woman is this writer who hasn't been heard of or seen, and you're a big fan of, you and your group are big fans of her novels. You're going in sneaking in to see like what happened to her in her house, and you get, and as you go through it, you meet some of these other crazed fans who are, you know, actors who've been trapped in the house, and there's like the monsters from her books have come to life and start to inhabit the house.
Oh, that sounds
and
like
they
fun.
Do a lot of cool things because this house is like just this piecemeal old 1920s home that's been like renovated and added
it?
On. It's off like Crenshaw, like south of the 10. So it's like this really ramshackle house where there's like all these staircases and just little, you know, basically a shitty house in terms of just how it was constructed, but works really well because it's very maze-like in that mm-hmm. way. So you go through it and you're with your group and it's like the person leads you and like you encounter various characters, and there's a lot of they did a lot of group separation. So one of the first things that happens, you go into this room and there's kind of these weird little puzzle elements, and to be fair, I think they're getting
the interactive moments
and totally honest, they kind of rush you right through those interactive moments, which I'm kind of bummed out about. I understand that they need to keep the throughput high.
It's like a cheap
high.
Video game. It's very on the rails with cutscenes and it's like press X and
yeah, it's like very
happens.
Much like, oh, what are we going to do in this room? Mm-hmm. Well, look around for a painting. It's like
painting in the room. Oh, you found it!
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. Okay. And so there's a little, and it's a little bit of like, oh, it's like just, oh, there's a hole there. The skeleton and the paint is pointing at the bookshelf, and the bookshelf's right here. And there's a hole. This is where we find a book. You're like, okay. The book is over there. Like, I was just looking for it. So you go in, and what was great was what you didn't realize was in the fireplace, what looked like a pile of just like sort of burning embers is actually a human being contorted in this crazy like wood costume who then gets up with glowing eyes.
Oh, that's really
like,
fun.
Ah, you rush into the fireplace, and it's like staring at you through the fireplace. And like, you see it through like windows in the back. And like, someone needs to take this invisibility potion we've gotten and distract it. And so I was like, who will do it? And I was kind of with a group of scaredy cats. So I was like, kind of looked around, like, I guess I will do it. And
I was with a group of scaredy cats.
So I stepped forward, and like, you know, they dropped a little, you know, vial of something kind of sour tasting, and I was like, you're invisible now. I'm like, okay, and I go out and distract it.
Did you do some messed up stuff then?
Just start taking off my clothes and just rubbing myself on things. It's like, good God, what have we done? Well, true horror.
They wouldn't know. They'd have to play it cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the actor, that's actually a good point. The actor would have to play it cool, huh? So I go out there and like I'm sneaking around, kind of hamming up a little bit, to be honest. The goal was to distract it and get it into the other room. And they did this great thing where I get around it. I throw a book on the other side of the room, and it sees it and it goes over there. I'm like, ha, I tricked it with my wiles. And I open the door, and as the moment I open the door, there's another person there who just grabs me, and like,
no!
I stumble. I'm like, I think that like I can get away from this, which clearly not. So they did a kind of, to be fair, like, it was overall great. They do like kind of a weird job of some things, like signifying, for example, that at that moment I shouldn't run away, but I did for the next 30 seconds with these two actors then trying to like, and I was like, oh, I have to get caught. Oh, right. I kind of have to
figure. They actually try to corner you?
And I was like, oh, wait. Okay, I'm not. Okay, I'm supposed to get caught. Okay, yeah. I got it now. But it was great because they opened the door and you heard everyone in the other room like, like, you know, they couldn't. It was like total surprise. And I got pulled away from the group. And I didn't know what happened to them, and they didn't know what happened to me. And I got pulled away from the group, and I had this whole little thing in the, you know, they put me at the head of this screwed up dining room table, and they tied me up, and I had my arms like tied to these.
Were they
stay
in character for this, or were
they
stay
in character?
Okay,
no, they stay in character. They did one great thing in terms of like setting up, which I'll talk about in a second. But so now I'm at the head of this table in this screwed up dining room situation. There's like creepy music playing, which, by the way, creepy music playing in like everything now. By the way, it's like 1920s, like old, like, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, that's
playing BioShock.
It's straight up BioShock. It's like, BioShock has defined what creepy music is for like every, like, I hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing. So it's like
Ink Spots. It's just like, play the Ink Spots and you're good.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting at the head of the table. My hands are tied up to this contraption, which is making my arms wave around because someone's manipulating it. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And they have a guy, on stilts come up and start like dancing around the table. And he has a knife and he's like kind of screwing around with my luscious hair and stuff and like kind of creep me out. Maybe I wasn't the right person for this because I wasn't, you know, I was mildly amused, but they do the whole thing and then he disappears. And then what you don't realize is your eyes adjust because you're at the head of the table and they have a light at you. So it's hard to see the other side of the room. As your eyes adjust, you realize that there's someone on the left side of the table that's a dummy. And then someone else that's a human being who's been still the whole time. And then like they start to move, you're like, ah! And then like they go under the table when you don't realize it. And then they come at you from under the table. So that was a pretty good scare. But then, right before the other group comes in, because you know they're doing their own thing in the other room in order to get over here, the person who's like dressed up as the fake dummy and is a real person.
Oh, so it was in fact two people.
There's a dummy and then a real person who looks like a dummy.
Gotcha. Okay.
The real person then just like leans over and then just goes shh, and it was one of those things where you're like, oh, okay, you scared me by scaring you first and then telling you to be quiet. It was almost like this weird social contract where you're like, okay, that's fair. Like, I want them to be scared, so I'm not going to say anything, right?
Yeah.
Because if they said, if they just went first, you might be inclined to, like, say something.
Yeah.
But because they got you with a scare, yeah, you're like, you know what? I want to see this happen to my friends. So, that was, and I thought that was a really clever way of, like, kind of enforcing that while staying in character with it. So then they come in, and of course, the giant, like, still sky comes in, they all hide under the table. And the whole time, like, my hands are being manipulated, so everyone's like, what the hell's going on with Freddy? Like, he's not moving of his own accord, you know? And the guy's going around the table and slamming the table and stuff. And then the person who they thought was a dummy comes to life and then gets them, and everyone freaks out and goes up from the table. They pull me out, they get me to the other side. So the two awesome things that happened. One was there's a room that was like a spider room, like all these spider webs and stuff. And what's interesting then is like for me, I wasn't part of that narrative, but half the people in the group was. So they're like, oh no, don't go here. You know, like they had seen this character earlier. So you had that split in your group. And they had a chain that ran up the wall. You didn't see this, but ran up the wall and up over the ceiling. So the guy was like, would come in kind of like weird and then spin around and then start to, and literally get yanked up and to the ceiling. So it looked like he crawled up the wall and then started crawling towards you from the ceiling over everything, which was a great effect. Everyone's like, ah, freaked out and went. And then there was another room where you went in, there's just like a little kid in the corner, just like writing. And then that's it. And you're just like, oh God. And he turns around and he looks at you. And then there's a whole thing where he like starts to interact with you. And then his mom comes in and she like separates the group out and forces, you know, people to go over to a certain place. And then half the group goes in a room. And you get a, you find, when you come back out, the kid has like left you a little gift in terms of a blacklight flashlight. And you have to like follow these trails. And it goes around the room and behind the dresser, you move the dresser and it has this handprints on the wall. And the whole back wall is constructed so it pushes forward like 30 feet. We didn't realize what this room was actually cut in a quarter by this fake wall. And you slide this entire wall back and it reveals all these like drawings and stuff in black light. It's like a really, really cool moment.
Oh, that's neat.
You didn't even expect it. It looked like just kind of a regular bedroom. You're like, oh shoot, this wall goes all the way back. And what's great is by that point, half the group's been separated with the mom.
I hope you were crushing them on the other side.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
No,
yeah.
No!
But they come back and like, and they come
this
back.
This is awesome!
They come back and they're so confused because they literally left the room. They came back to a totally different room because like, what happened here?
Yeah.
And I go, no, it's just a thing. And then they had the ultimate things was you got up into an attic area and they do. And again, they do all these rigging. They do some very stealth rigging for the actors where they'll be like, a character will be standing on the stairs. I was like, wait, let me check if it's okay. He'll go up. And as he got up to check if it's okay, they quickly rigged him up. So he comes back down. I was like, it's good. He's like, ah! And then he'll get yanked up straight up, like out of your line of sight because they've been rigging him for that. And you go up to the attic area and the attic area is great. They do a great lighting effect where you're up in this attic area and now it's lightning. And what they do is they have these windows out there and they put the lighting outside the window. So it looks like you're in a thing and they play the sound effects and they flash it. So it's almost like a strobe, an intermittent strobe.
Yeah.
So you get up there and it's strobing, you sort of see things. And then they've hidden, a person's been like hiding in black robes and you just can't see them. And then like the story point happens and the person just stands up and all of a sudden there's this figure in the middle of the room, like this robe, like hooded, like faceless figure. And they time it out, obviously, so that everyone's like shying away from her. And then the lightning strike, you see it. And then like, there's this moment of black and then she moves up very quickly and the lightning strikes again. So they do the ring warp effect. So all of a sudden now she's like 3 inches from the group and everyone just freaks out. And then when that happens, they hit a stronger strobe. And also what you don't realize, every piece of furniture in this room was attached to wires. So it shoots up and everything starts to levitate which is a great, it hit really well. Cause all of a sudden just like everything starts floating around like, and you get out of there. Overall, really, really cool. Really cool.
That
really
sounds
cool
like thing. A lot of neat things.
There was a lot of
lots
neat things.
Of neat things.
Certainly beats Universal.
I didn't get to do Universal this year.
What did you do?
I had to go home. I had a family emergency. Oh, yeah. I hit the old, I've told you about the Niles Haunted House.
That's the one with like the fireman where they smack you with the sponges, right?
They smack you with the wet sponges, which they don't do anymore.
Wait, what
it's
is this?
Not,
probably somebody
well,
complained
they,
about
it. Well, it was a pitch black maze we used to go to when we were kids. It was absolutely terrifying. And a lot of that's no longer terrifying because I'm older. I'm no longer a child. But they've...
I'm a man now.
I'm a man now. It's just not... It's not the same anymore. There was one cool effect that was absolutely terrifying at the Niles Haunted House this year because it was real and dangerous.
What was it?
You're running through this cornfield and a combine that you do not see, this huge combine outfitted with all these... Spinning.
That's a farming thing, not the villains from Half-Life, by the way.
Correct.
A farming
combine outfitted with these giant spinning spires just powers up and starts plowing towards you at full speed, and then you're running from this combine in real life. You are running away from a man inside of a combine driving at you at full speed.
How fast is full speed?
Absolutely. The thing probably couldn't go any faster than 5 miles and three.
Do you think if you stood your ground, three to five miles, game over? Or is it like a chainsaw where they can take off the
look,
chain?
I am not surprised there isn't a huge accident there next year that they accidentally run someone over with this combine. That's how dangerous and scary and real it was. But, you know, everything else is pretty lame. Dude.
Did you go for a run?
I did.
You run to work now?
No, I went to the gym.
Oh, okay.
There's a gym next door.
Oh, okay. I like the idea of you like running like 20, 30 miles to work.
Well, what Delusion reminded me of was very much a theatrical production called Sleep No More, which is
a theatrical production
called Sleep No More.
What is it not?
It's kind of weird. Yeah, I guess so.
I talk like
it. Reminds me of a theatrical production.
It's like Leonard Maltin.
Sleep No More.
Well, it's known perhaps in the theater.
It's been known as. I still have not gone.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. It's probably one of my favorite things I think I've ever done.
Man, that makes me think I should go to New York and try Sleep No More.
It was really cool. And just again, just the level of production design. And it's kind of this weird push that I've noticed. It's not really happening in theater.
Sleep No More is a lot less structured from my
Very, very less.
Just so you guys know, Sleep No More is essentially a warehouse filled with these hippies doing a Macbeth as like a dance with masks.
Okay, kind of.
And it's one of those, what was the original one like in the 1920s where essentially you can roam from room to room, but the actors essentially have a set path.
Right, so these actors have a room, so it just keeps looping. It loops
It's up to you to kind of choose the room, but like there's definitely groupies who go like, repeatedly and just hang out in rooms and just make out with strangers.
They're opening an LA show.
Are they really?
Right now, yeah.
Is it just like Sleep No More, but like downtown?
It sounds like a variation on Sleep No More. It's not going to be it's the same show. They want it to be a separate experience.
Have to wear a mask to get in.
Yeah, well, when you're there, you don't speak and you have a mask, which then has this effect of you being this, it makes you feel very voyeuristic and also free to be very voyeuristic. So you feel like this ghost floating around and just watching this drama unfold in front of you. It's really cool.
I got something out of left field. How do you guys feel about Tinder?
That is way left. So I assume you're done with the Halloween recap. You're bored with
come
that.
Back. I just want to ask about Tinder.
Are you going to come back or are you done with break. It? Just stick a stake in it.
Then we can come back.
Like a vampire.
Let's just ask about Tinder.
You refuse to drop it.
Real quick, what prompted you on
this?
Yeah,
why Tinder?
Just the whole, like, free to be voyeuristic. And like that whole, and it reminded me of John Salmon and his adventures at Sleep No More. And then John Salmon, like, you guys know John Salmon. Well, John Salmon was at least on to the Future, maybe.
Yeah.
But he was the DP for VGHS, right? Like, that's your guys.
He's been featured on a handful of the VGHS podcasts.
But, anyways, yeah, so John Salmon has just like a very interesting lifestyle when it comes to his love life and his. And his adventures.
Well,
he's a very adventurous guy.
Ask John Carman. John Carman is currently Tinder?
How's that working for you?
Yeah, it's
Mr.
More,
Lyft
it's
instead
more,
of Uber.
Well, here's. Oh wow, glad you remember that. it's more. It's Tinder's more like a thing. It's like a game I play on the toilet. You know. Rather than like a full fledged.
Oh man.
Some people do Tetris.
These are human beings, John.
He doesn't poop on them. He's just looking at them while he poops.
Just while he's thinking about them.
Yeah. You know, I would love to be thought of while people poop.
Right. Hey, you know what? I remember the first time I saw you. I was taking a huge, huge... Anyway.
Or just relaxing. You know?
Just relaxing on the pot?
Yeah. Hey,
there's...
How many times do you have to yourself, you know?
Oh, my God. So this is your toilet game? Your bathroom game,
like,
John?
It's like you
Angry Birds.
You do a session, you just swipe stuff, and then like every time someone swipes you back, like even though it's supposed to look random, they push the people who swiped you to the front, you know? Mm-hmm. So like you'll get a match right away.
Yeah.
So it's like I'll sit down on the toilet, I'll be like, oh, I got a match. I'm not sure what I was thinking there. And then just
So you get to be your most judgmental.
Yeah.
While excreeting.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad
thing? Judging
them.
Because
there's no profile that you're looking at, right? It's just the photo.
Well, yeah. To me, there's something kind of interesting about this sort of weird, like, reductionism of...
Wait, really quickly, just in the off chance that somebody doesn't know what Tinder is, could you quickly summarize it, like, in a sentence?
It's a stack of photographs that...
On an app. It's an app,
of different women or men, or both, depending on the settings that you put into it. And it's just like, yes or no, do you find this person attractive or not? You just swipe right or left.
And if you
and
do,
is it curated by like my understanding was it's like at least people who are like, you have Facebook friends in common or is that
you need to have a Facebook account and if you are and
it pulls
something
your
like that,
a profile photo from straight from your Facebook account.
But
right?
you don't isn't like making sure that it's not total creepazoids or weirdos by like common friends or anything.
No. It definitely. I believe it does. I assume that they check like number of Facebook friends, i.e., a brand new Facebook account with zero friends is probably highly suspect.
Okay.
On their
Freddie,
their
why haven't you done this, man?
So I have a couple funny stories about it. But
turns out I did.
Well, no, here I'll get into it in a second. But I think there's something interesting about this sort of weird reductionism of human interaction that's kind of slowly taking place, where it's like, you know what, online dating profile, you know what, forget it, just pictures. It's just one picture, yes or no. Just
it's
get
easy.
It.
It's like going to a bar. John, has it ever worked out for you though? Like, have you ever been like actually met?
Yeah.
With any of the folks? And has it been like a positive experience? Have
sure.
It, was it like nice?
Yeah.
Were they fairly normal?
I mean, I've definitely not like fallen in love.
But like,
you
know, as far as like, hey, like
I've
gonna,
had, like,
we're going
fun.
On a date.
Yeah, it's like, all right, like you want to go to this concert? Cool. And then I was like,
by the way, real quick, John Carman's a real connoisseur of LA events. He's always like, hey, there's a cool concert. Here's a cool movie. And I'm always like, I'm sorry, John. I wish I could go with you.
John Carman is the LA Weekly of my friends.
He is. John Carman is basically Logan being the Logan and John both actually both of you together probably go to and attend more various events in LA than anybody else that we know.
Gotta slow down. I just watch X-Files now.
That doesn't sound all that bad.
I just go home, eat some kimchi, and watch an Xbox.
Oh, what a sad, sad life.
I kind of love it. It's kind of great.
X-Files is pretty fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Mulder's a hoot.
I feel like
that's your description of X-Files.
I feel like we told these
Mulder's
Tinder stories
a hoot.
How old are you?
5 stars.
43-year-old Logan. Mulder's a hoot.
That's your Netflix video. I don't care for that sci-fi stuff, but Mulder, he's a
hoot. Mulder, he's a hoot.
Sorry,
So the problem that I have on Tinder, and really almost any online dating anything, is I really can't do that stuff.
Because you get to the point where you ask them on a date, and you say, oh, I'll pick you up in my minivan.
And they're gone.
Oh, but real quick. Logan and I went to see a movie a couple weeks ago, and I pulled up on a street, and I beeped my horn. I'm like, hey, come on out. And he came out, and I swear to God, he looked at every car on the street, passed over me sitting in my minivan, just saw right
through
it.
It's like he's invisible.
Yeah. He's like, invisible. Where'd Freddie go? And then like I rolled down the window, I'm like, Logan. And he was like, it was like as if a ghost had appeared in front of him. It was like, whoa. This is you.
I was like, oh, you must have crashed his car. Like,
oh, it's you.
That means you could just, like, you know, you can pick up a few girls with that.
Yeah, there you go, Freddie.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six fullies. Yeah. It's one of those things where.
Wait, what was that?
Six women he can simultaneously go out at once to his car.
Due to the storage capacity, passenger seat
capacity.
Or
just people. They don't have to be women.
I mean, you could crap a good 9 in there if you try it.
John, I don't want to talk. No. No, let's not. No.
Wait, so have
six
okay?
Is cool.
Six
is cool.
Because, because six people will have seatbelts, John, and that's the most important thing is to have seatbelts.
Hey, but so really quickly, you haven't ever tried Tinder, Freddie? But Benji, have you? You're making hand gestures. You have a girlfriend, so you better not talk about this.
No, I've tried it. We've had these talks before.
Okay.
We've gone over the Tinder
stuff before.
He's like,
whoa, no, I didn't do that. No,
Well, no, I was saying that I can't. I feel like I can't use these things. I feel like this out of my...
Have you thought about just, like doing a fake picture and a fake name? Well, because, although that defeats the point of Tinder.
Well, that completely defeats the point of a lot. Well, but also completely defeats the point of, like, imagine OkCupid, right? Where someone's, like message and then it's like, hey... Okay, so the picture and the name that I put up was totally fake.
But what,
like,
if you do that stylized thing where you don't show a picture of yourself, you show, like, a picture of your, like... Your feet on the beach, or like
doesn't work,
or like a coffee cup stain.
Then it looks like you're hiding
like
something.
Poem.
Yeah, it looks like you're hiding.
What are you afraid
something?
Of?
What are you afraid
I think
of?
People do that though, right? Like that's the thing. Like especially if like
guys
like,
generally
if
don't.
If you're like missing, like
I had
like
Tinder
like
a year ago, and I feel like we've had these conversations.
Well, but here's the thing.
If,
so I couldn't.
Doesn't have their face on there, they're gone.
Well, but here's the thing. I can't resist the urge to like make jokes with it. Like, and it's jokes that only I would find funny. Like, for example, like a profile where it was like. It was a girl and a dog, and it was like three of the same picture of like of the same girl, same dog. And when people message that, I'll just respond like woof woof arf as if it was the dog. Like it's like, oh, get it, it's the dog's profile.
That's definitely,
like,
that's definitely long some inside walks baseball.
On the beach. And yeah, anyway.
You should try it though.
Well, so I had this theory.
And so what
this
do you do that? Like, well, no, but you try it. Like, how do you try it?
Then, I had a theory. Well, I had a theory on Tinder, which is I think that Tinder is easier and you have a higher success rate if you're a white guy. I think that there's a big race component when it comes to a lot of these messaging and dating apps and things like that, that I think, and again, so what I did was this. So I created over the course of, okay, this is going to sound really weird. Over the course of 3 months, I created a bunch of fake accounts.
On Tinder?
On Tinder.
You actually did this? Yeah. Did you share this with anybody?
No, no, this is just, I have a Google Doc where I tracked all this just for my
own. Like, so this is, like,
this is the premiere of your, yeah. of no, your this research.
Okay, so what it was yeah. was, so I took the most attractive, like, versions of males in various races, but they needed to be relatively obscure. So I couldn't do like Tom Cruise. Yeah. So what I did was I would do like, so for an Asian, I picked a Korean pop star who has like been voted like the top Korean like pop star for the last like 3 years sure. or whatever it is. For like a European guy, I picked like a European soccer player because I figure, okay, here's a guy who is probably, you know, relatively considered relatively attractive. And, but for the most part, unknown to a American audience.
To LA people.
Yeah. Right. So it was that, and then like a Bollywood star. Mm-hmm. And then and that was as far as I got. So it was Indian, Asian, and a white guy.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm just curious now. Obviously, there's nothing objective about this. There's nothing scientific about this. But I was like, I'm just going to swipe right, you know, I think 90% of the time, because just in case Tinder has a thing where it sees 100% right swipes as bot-like behavior. So I'm just going to do 90% of the time. And just see what the response rate is like. Okay. And what was really interesting was the white guy, far and away, like almost 10 times the responses in terms of mutual matches to it.
Is it done by proximity though?
So I accounted for that. I would log in at different times of day, randomize that, and based on where I was, so I'd be either Burbank or downtown would be the two
sort of spots. Because the other thing is, I presume there's a lot more white people in both those spots.
But I said the search rate is pretty large. So okay. So regardless, and I did a sample size of like, I think 1,300, because I determined that with the number of females and males in Los Angeles, 1,300 is a statistically significant sample size for like, I think 95%. Whatever. Anyway,
you got pretty hardcore. About it. What motivated this? Like, what drove you to do this?
I was really bored and really boredom. Curious about this.
Okay.
So here's what was interesting. So I threw away any responses where people recognized that celebrity or that person right away, because that obviously they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like you're the Korean pop star is on this. And it's like, oh no, sorry.
Not you used the picture, but you. You are in fact the Korean pop star.
No, I did. It was the soccer player, or the Korean pop star got
it's
recognized.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
What are you doing here?
Aren't you playing soccer?
It's off season.
I love LA.
It's off season.
And by the way, oh, here was the hardest part. By the way, finding photos of these people. This is again very
that look like candid. As that look candid to, like,
headshots. As opposed to them at like some press junket for some European yeah. soccer tour or like some.
I don't think there's anything photos. Wrong with using a headshot for your. You use a headshot like a sweet airbrush photo.
I'm not an actor. I don't have a headshot.
So anyway,
okay, still get like, you know, one of these guys to hit you with a DSLR and Photoshop. Yeah,
we should do that. We need to. That's what we need to do. We need to beef up John Carman's profile.
If
that's
I was to
Photoshop
that,
his body, give him a really big V.
Yeah. The deep V.
That means that everyone on Facebook was. An influx of sexy tagging myself photos.
Right.
Just being do the shirtless and we'll use that burn and dodge tool.
Everyone's going to know I'm on Tinder if I did that. They're like, why is he doing? He's clearly trying to beef up his profile. I can't do that.
So here's the funny thing, right? So Korean.
Can't beef up my prof.
Can't.
Korean
can't
pop star. Super easy to find photos because they take pictures themselves on their phones all the time.
Okay.
And you can find on social media. European soccer player. I couldn't find any because it was all like on the pitch and like until I was like, ah, wait, hold on, fan photo with him. And then I found a whole bunch of stuff where it's like people were like, oh, and I was like, okay, that could be his mom he's taking a picture with and stuff. So I got, you know, it was a German soccer player that I found. Anyway, so what was interesting was the white guy got 10 times the responses as any of the other profiles of the very small sample size I did. But more interestingly, the diversity of the responses was pretty close to just the overall Los Angeles race demographics. So it was a pretty even spread across. The Asian guy had one out of, I think it was, again, 10 times less, so it's not as much, but it was one white person, and then everyone else was either black or Asian. was the response for that. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, because I mean, again, it doesn't say anything. I'm sure there's, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I think that the way I thought was this. It was like, look, if this Korean pop star this guy who is universally adored by his entire country for being attractive can't sling it in the dirty streets of Los Angeles, what hope do I have here?
And you got to play with some of the other variables. So here, your Photoshop skills are pretty good.
I had to have a series of Photoshops with you back in college that were pretty funny.
Yeah, those were actually pretty good. Yeah. So you should take that soccer player and start doing some Photoshops to him. Play with some of the other vectors. So one thought, face tattoos. Do face
tattoos. Like just a tribal face
like
tattoo.
Give him the Tyson and see.
Like if it affects any of the rates there.
Yeah.
So the problem is I lost interest in this after about a couple months.
Or give him high cheekbones, just like, you know, or solid, like.
To like different types of facial hair. Like what is the statistically most significant facial hair?
Yeah, or different like hairstyles or hats. Like you could, like sky's the limit, man.
Did you ever go on an actual Tinder date, Freddie?
No, never.
No.
Using those pictures to show up and be like, it was a joke. No,
before you got bored with your own profile and created all these fake ones.
None.
Yeah.
No hits whatsoever.
Man. None?
None.
Stop.
No. 100% serious.
Oh, Freddy.
You should do one of those. Speed dating?
Not a single match.
Wait. On Tinder? Wait. No.
How hard did you really try? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not, obviously not.
5 minutes.
I'll put it this way.
Freddy swiped 10 times. Like, it doesn't work. Yeah. Well, I'm conducting a study.
I gave myself the fit.
Well, something's amiss.
Well, here's the funny thing, right? I was like, before I sink any more time into this experiment, let me just test the statistical likelihood of me getting anything by testing a hot Asian pop star. Okay. And then cut to 2 months later. Well, I've determined that this is a waste of my time.
I think you should have
Maybe because you were conducting the right experiment. The statistical likelihood is you creating a rad profile trying to match up with girls.
If you spent the amount of time you did doing this study just like swiping people as
trying
you,
to meet people,
you would fucking have
you would have found somebody.
Dude, come on.
It was...
That's what we need to do. John, you're off. You're done. You already said you don't want the sweet pictures on your Facebook makeover. Anyway. Logan, we're beefing up Freddy's Tinder profile.
Let's do some beefing.
We're going to beef it.
Last
beef
time Freddy.
Freddy's getting beefed.
Beefing, I mean, Freddy.
Freddy and the beef.
Does beef as a verb have any other meanings?
Yes, probably.
I think so.
A few.
Pretty sure it does.
All right. Beef. Hey, speaking of beef, that reminds me of turkey. Turkey Day is coming up.
Oh my god.
Nice segue.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, world class segue from Logan Olson.
Are you guys doing anything special for Turkey Day?
No, I need to figure that out. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Are you
normally do a thing
at
the place with the friends.
Dude, here's the funny thing about my folks. Well, here's the funny thing about my folks. I'm alone. I was like, I texted my mom. I was like, hey, where are you guys at? And my mom's like, we're in Korea. Didn't you know this? I'm like, what?
They didn't even tell you.
Well, they did, but I guess I must have. This is how good of a person I am.
You just talk to them once a week?
Like, I do. And I was like, I was calling back and they're like, we're in Korea right now. It's like 10 o'clock in that. I'm like, oh, sorry. You're not gonna be home for Thanksgiving, right? She's like, no, we're in Korea.
Wow, so you gotta go it alone.
I don't know what to do.
Which Korea?
South Korea, John. Jesus.
And
Dez, you're going back, right? You're gonna go back to South.
No, not this Thanksgiving.
How come?
Work stuff.
Logan, let me ask you something. How busy is Disneyland?
Piece of shit.
How
Disneyland Thanksgiving? It's busy.
Really? Is it?
Benji and I and our brother Alex did a Disneyland Thanksgiving a couple, 2-3 years ago.
Crazy busy.
Insane.
Really?
But was there like some fun like pilgrims riding a boat or something?
What are you talking about?
Like, was there like a fun Thanksgiving specific event
at Disney? No, it was just a thing to do. We thought, hey, it's a holiday. Maybe there won't.
They don't have like a turkey day parade or something.
No, it's just Disney. Everything. There's nothing.
Oh, just crazy busy,
themed.
Huh?
Some stuff is still Halloween themed at that point, and it's like this weird dovetail of Halloween into Christmas.
You guys, if you're not gonna spend time with your families, I think you should rock the Black Friday super hard.
Just spend time with good old American consumerism.
Just go to Best Buy and Walmart and just like really rock it.
Maybe I'll go to Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah,
pick up a couple of things.
Get
for
some
the kitchen.
Get some down comforters.
Yeah,
it's that time of year. How many down comforters you putting on this year? Three.
Yeah, why not?
It really depends
on those big Black Friday
triple down,
sales.
Right? Yeah.
Triple down.
What are you doing? Are you going home?
Oh heck yeah!
Yeah.
No, well, not home anymore because my folks moved to Arizona.
That's right.
So we're gonna fly out to Arizona. It's gonna be the first time that I travel on Thanksgiving Day ever my entire life.
Uh-oh.
Wow,
is that bad?
Well, not the day.
I think the day before. Right? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. This is even the day after. I had to drive back to San Francisco for a job.
Just probably gridlock.
That was
right?
Bad. That was Friday. Yes.
But we're gonna have a Thanksgiving in the desert, man. Like with the goats, and we got like two or three new dogs.
On your patch of desert?
On our patch of desert, man.
We were just pitching your patch of desert story the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we pitched it to Mike over here.
Really? Was Brian there somehow?
No, Brian wasn't there. I don't remember how it came up, but we got to the point where...
the guy's jogging at them from like 40 miles away.
Did you pitch that?
I don't think anyone's heard this. Can you pitch patch of desert?
No. I want you to pitch patch of desert.
Brian was the real pitcher. I just provided the patch of desert.
I told you guys I would produce it.
Right, we'll just pitch the thing. I thought we were halfway through.
It was the log line.
Well, I mean, so for those of you who don't have any context, patch of desert was my folks bought their 40 acres of desert.
And real quick, Logan, for the next month after telling people that, endured every single one of his friends saying,
and the mule? Yeah, thanks, guys. Google it if you don't understand that. Learn some history.
A lot of our fans probably don't.
Yeah, Google 40 acres of mule and you'll get it. You'll learn some history. But anywho. Yeah, so like when we got that patch of desert, there was literally nothing on it. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's very close to the Mexican border in Arizona. And Brian Ferenzi, who I guess was never on this podcast and is now in England, got really into the idea of doing a horror film called Patch of Desert, which is about a bunch of, like, one of the teenagers. It's pretty much, the initial part is based on reality. It's like, hey, my parents got a patch of desert. And legally, there's no laws on this patch of desert, so we could do whatever we want.
So all these
high schoolers go and get crazy in the middle of the desert, but there's a slasher killer per most of these horror movies, but his whole conceit is there's nowhere to hide in the patch of desert, right?
Right.
So you see him coming from like 40 miles out, and
what are you gonna do? Nothing.
And so he just come jogging at you, and his kills are always, he doesn't break stride.
Does he have knives for arms?
Yeah, describe the walk of you.
Is there a walk?
You maybe we invented that.
It's like a T-1000. It was like a 2000-1000 run.
Dan.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
Dan Johnson.
Well, yeah. It's a very like Terminator 2.
I feel like there's been this huge game of telephone of friends pitching other friends.
It's literally been alive for 10 years. As long as I've been friends with people,
it's transformed itself into a.
But I
want to
hear the original. Keep going. So this guy's running at you now. This group of friends is sitting there partying.
But the whole that's basically the whole conceit. And so he'll always run by you, do the kill, and keep going. And that's. That's it. But the thing that really kind of makes this movie for most people is, to Des's point, do you want to do the sex kill that Brian Ferenzi came up with? And that was kind of like the pinnacle of Patch of Desert.
I would rather not pitch that sex kill.
Huh?
I would rather not pitch that sex kill. You know, I have a girlfriend now and a professional career. Elaborate and gory kill, unlike any I've ever seen before, where an individual is severed in a not so convenient.
Well, multiple. It's like a turducken kill.
It's like a turducken. Yeah. If you can figure that out.
Have you guys ever done the turducken?
No. Oh,
no, have you?
No, I kind of. I heard there was.
Subject change.
I heard there was.
Sorry, Logan's done with this bitch. Over like a not so convenient.
Logan, I have a question. How does that movie end?
Vincent Price.
The pitch always gets to that awesome kill in the tent. And then we've never heard anything beyond that.
I think what your best bet is, honestly, if you remember right after this podcast, go email Brian Ferenzi and ask for what the end was. Because as far as I know, the only person who had this like...
No, we've heard you guys have written the script. Brain. You guys written the script? No.
Yeah,
I like that we know more about Logan's movie than Logan does.
No, you're right. Because so there was
a Dogma 95 like set of movies, and then pre-produced for $1,000 and written in IM conversation.
There was a point in time. There was definitely a point in time. I don't know if Brian was bored or what, but like he'd be like, "Hey Logan, what's up?" And then he would just write a whole movie in a G-chat. Like, I'd be away from the computer for the entire thing.
You'd come back and he'd written a script.
And there'd just be everything. And the whole thing from beginning to end. I'd be like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, man. You should do that. Good luck. I gotta go.
But we gotta email him, and he probably knows what the end was. He'll probably give you like a whole
If there's a script, we should put it up.
There you go.
At the very least,
you could do a, yeah, you could do a table read of the IO conversation.
That
hey
would
man,
be
what's
awesome.
Up? Not much. You want to go to Damon's tonight? Nah, yeah. I'm busy. But I was thinking.
That is brilliant.
Or actually, back in the day, have we ever talked about Bratson in 95? That's probably like my favorite Brian Frenzy.
Yeah, the Bratson 95, yeah.
Bratson in 95, or when he left to...
I've done a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, when Brian left to England, the way we sent... Like, literally, the last time I saw him before he moved was we did one last Bratson in 95.
Which was
we did Johnny Mnemonic.
Why don't you... What is Bratson in 95?
Bratson in 95... Back in the good old days, back when we could actually handle doing this, was we would buy a Costco-sized thing of brats for just Brian and me, cook like 8 brats.
And a huge jar of sauerkraut.
Literally an entire jar of sauerkraut. And then we just, and by the way, while we're cooking these brats, we're just down, usually it was also, it was usually Margarita Monday, actually.
Oh.
It was either Margarita Monday or Old Fashions. And so we're just drunk, cooking bratwurst, and like, they're catching on fire and stuff. So they're usually like raw on the inside and burn on the outside. And then we just eat 8 brats each. Usually we haven't slept either. Just working really long hours. And so we'd eat, and then we'd turn on the 95er, which was always a cyberpunk movie from 1995. And then we'd fall asleep within the first 5 minutes.
Because by that point, we'd drink so much.
We usually had like 3 to 5 margaritas and 8 bratwursts and a jar of sauerkraut. So we'd get through the credits and then all pass out. And then we wake up at the very end and be like, well, that was all right. Go home.
Yeah.
But the best part was David Welch would always come over and be like, yeah, I'll join you. I don't want a brat. Not good. I don't need a drink. And so he'd just be there by himself watching this movie while we were passed out. I guarantee you we were farting. Like, it's like we had a whole jar of sauerkraut. So we're just farting, passed out dudes.
Just that was the last time you did that with Frenzy?
No, yeah, it was just me and Frenzy.
And
we,
Johnny
but Mnemonic. But because, you know, we're not who we used to be, like, you'd have, like, this time we still fell asleep, but it was after, like, half a beer. Like, half a beer and, like, one brat, and we were both knocked out cold.
I think I came over for 2 of those, and I was so drunk, I cannot remember what we even watched.
Well, the best part was, it wasn't like it was convenient to get to my house. I literally lived half an hour away through a swamp marsh on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You like in the middle of Endor. Yeah. Some people literally drive like an hour to get to my place and then just fall asleep on my couch after drinking. That was literally their time. Drive to a place to fall asleep. So, anyways.
Benji's giving us the 5 minute sign, but it was upside down.
But we should.
Upside down.
But we should get the end of Apache Desert from before.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll save the end for the table read.
But yeah, so that's where I'm going to the Apache Desert for Turkey Day. And I'm sorry, you guys. You guys aren't going to visit your folks. But
I was just home. So.
As far as the Halloween recap, I also went to Haunted.
What was that movie called?
Incursion? Inception. We're going to incept our way all the way back to the van going off the bridge right now.
You probably did a whole cornucopia of Halloween events. What was the best?
You know, the best was that there was 2 contenders.
Contenders.
Yeah. And one of them, there was 2 haunted experiences. One actually was with David and Dan, and it was the Theater of Horrors in Pasadena, right next to where you lived.
Yes.
Yep. Do you go?
It's a block away. Did not get to go this year. Like I said, I was out of town.
It was great because it's just like
this year was a haunted mortuary.
Yeah, it's like a community event. So what that means is like it's essentially community theater where it's like old people, kids, everybody's spooking. Great gags, really fun, and I love that under a certain age they just pile them into all in one room.
Yeah,
and so you got like a fairly normal haunted house of varying ages, and then they dump you into a cemetery filled with 4-year-olds pretending to be zombies.
Oh, that's
it's horrible. I went last year and it was awesome.
Great. So it was just so cute. And then the other one, Alone, is one of the solo experiences. It's actually a response to Blackout, which is where I had to suck that guy's nipple. If you remember that.
I don't remember that. That sounds like an incredible story.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the lone experience that's supposed to be like the most extreme haunted house
was you sucking a man's nipple.
No, that was only one part of it. That's the part people remember.
Like, thank you for your $60. Suck on my nipple.
This is the one where they like make you take off all your shoes and they like drench you in water and like shove stuff in your mouth and smack you around and bury you alive with naked people.
Sounds awful.
It was actually kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, if you have a brother, like you
You've experienced.
You've
this.
Experienced most of it.
Except for the nipple sucking.
You know, if you've been to a dentist, though, like you're used to that, like, you know, hands checking out your teeth. And if you have a brother, you're used to like people smacking you in the face. So that was pretty much all it was. But these people went to that one and were like, we can do this way better, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so they made a loan, which actually was more Sleep No More. What I imagine Sleep No More is, where it's not really spooky. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Except for the, like, the way they transition you from like essentially surreal scene to surreal scene by yourself is by somebody sneaking up behind you, bear hugging you, and be like, get to the fucking room, and throwing you into the next room.
That's interesting.
Outside of that, just kind of strange in a fun way, like very like Lynchian. Like you end up like in a diner with essentially like the girl from The Ring, and she like crawls around and like turns on music, and then you just like hang out and like trade messages with each other before she makes you like crawl through it like a hole. A lot of crawling. And the highlight was probably. Okay, here was the highlight. So you do a lot of strange stuff, like this lady, like this mime lady runs up to you and rubs a microscope all over your face and like points at different parts of your pores, like the microscope's displayed on a video monitor. Mm-hmm. And then like a faun runs up to you and like paints her face, and then you hang out with Ringu lady, and then at some point you think you're done. Yeah. And they're like, okay, great. And they, by the way, this is like on the cusp of gentrification, like tent city on one side, lofts on the other sort of area. And they're like, great. They dump you in an alleyway. And they're like, this guy's like, all right, you're going to go down, take a right, another right, and you'll be back where you started. I'm like, okay.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah,
oh,
you like heard that. About this?
No, this is awesome.
No, yeah, I've always had this idea of making you feel like you're done.
The house is over.
They did it. And so you're...
There was a Nathan For You episode that
I heard.
Does this.
Yeah, and it's so great. You're walking on a normal sidewalk, and this homeless guy's like, hey, tall homeless guy, by the way. He's like, hey, you got some change, man? I'm like, sorry, man, I actually don't right now. And he's like, oh. And then he gets like really aggressive, like verbally abusive and aggressive, and like, why are you on my street, and like blah blah blah. And like, I was definitely like 70% sure this is part of the experience. 30% maybe not. This can get really bad really quickly. And so I'm like, I'm power walking. I'm like, I'm just going to take a ride up there. And then he's like, you think it's done? It's not done. And then this guy came, like, blindsided me, grabbed me, and threw me back into a building and then started back up again.
Oh, that's sick.
It started back up again. It was just like a lady, like, sitting there, like, in a sparse room with a lamp. And she, like, kind of looks, and there's, like, another door. And by the way, this entire experience is just like, low frequency white noise, by the way, just like, and so like that kind of like made it feel like Mulholland Drive the entire time. But you go into the next room, it's an identical version of the room you were just in.
That's cool.
Yeah, combined, same lady like sitting there, so it's kind of like you just like looped.
And cool.
There's some neat stuff in it. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
That sounds great.
So highly
the one thing I had time for when I was here in LA was the haunted hayride.
How was it this year?
It was not good at all.
I'm glad I didn't go.
It was so bad.
Sorry, man.
Big waste of time.
Well, there you go, everyone.
There you go.
Well, no. Is that it?
Freddie's like, that's it. We're calling it. Big waste of time. That's it. We're calling it.
The tagline of the Face Marker podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
I think we're done. Big waste of time, actually, probably.
Okay. Hey, just really quickly, what's your guys' favorite video game to play right now?
All right. Let's go around and let's finish this up. Logan, why don't you kick us off?
I'm really into Ho-Ho-Cum right now. I think that's how you say it.
What are you talking
about? Ho-Ho-Cum? Ho-Ho-Cum?
Ho-Ho-Cum? Okay. All right.
Just keep saying it, and then we'll just magically know what you're talking about.
Wait, really quick. I want to tell you
Freddie,
about
it. You got me into Papers, Please. I'm really impressed.
Wait, you guys don't know what Ho-Ho-Cum is?
No.
It's this game. It's like if Flower was 2D and like in the style of Yellow Submarine.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
You just float around as like sweet music plays and like as like a giant snake and just like tickle different like vector graphics and they like wave at you and just cute and relaxing and just A+ for the PlayStation.
Just A+.
I play a lot of League of Legends, and also there's an iPhone game called A Dark Room that I actually quite enjoyed.
A Dark Room.
Oh yeah, that's cool. It's a text one, right?
Yep.
That's
wait, it's an actual text game?
Yeah, like it's like
you see a gorp go south?
It's very meta, and it's like it turns the whole experience of playing it into like a sort of almost a literary experience.
It's interesting.
Almost.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Des?
All I've had time for recently are playing office games. Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
It's what's been going around.
There you go.
All right. Right. Those are games for,
we got to wrap this up,
there's
guys.
There's going to be Amazon links to all those games.
That's not true.
No.
That's not true.
Stop
please,
it.
By the way, if you have it. If you haven't, head on over to podsurvey.com/facerocker. Please fill out our survey. Help us out. We're picking three people to give away rad prize packs to. We'll buy Steam games. We'll buy three people Steam game of their choice and hook them up with a bunch of Rocket Jump swag. So
will you match their prizes with other prizes for other people?
No, podsurvey.com/facerocker. Logan, as always, a pleasure to have you on board.
Thanks, guys.
John Carmen, Des Dolly,
and thank you, Freddie.
Thank you,
everybody. It's good to have you on board.
This was fun. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Woo! Burn out.